Welcome to Life After Journalism, in which we hear about the people who brought us the news and see what's keeping them busy now that they've moved on with their lives. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and as the minute waltz fades away, we ask the studio audience to give a warm welcome to today's guest as I introduce Malcolm Turnbull. Before becoming a politician leading the Liberal Party, and his now current position as Shadow Minister for Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, Malcolm has studied the law, been a businessman, and relevant to us, at one point a journalist. He tells us his career began from a love of writing.
I was studying at university, and I guess I always liked writing, and so I submitted and got paid for a couple of pieces I sent to the Nation Review, which is a weekly newspaper in those days, and then I started working for them on a pretty much a full-time basis while I was at uni. And then I got a press gallery card at State Parliament in, I guess it would have been in late 75, something like that. I became effectively a stringer for the Nation Review, a stringer for Channel 9 and a stringer for 2SN.
Yeah.
In 77, I was working on the staff of the Bulletin. I got hired by Trevor Kennedy to do that. And then when I went to the UK in 78, doing honor road scholarship, I worked for the Sunday Times there, and also from the UK I strung for various Australian publications, and even some American ones, a piece or two, I think, for the Chicago Tribune. You know, I was just always hustling, and I wrote a book, Time Life book about Australia, which I rewrote for £1,000, which I was very pleased to. They'd commissioned a guy called Peter Porter, who was a very famous Australian poet, to do it, and it was very poetic, but didn't have any facts or people in it, and he hadn't been in Australia for many years.
Yeah.
You know, I was always keen at writing, and I've enjoyed, always continued with that.
It sounds like that was something you were doing while you were studying.
That's right.
Did you ever seriously consider it as a career?
Oh, very much so, yeah. In fact, Harry Evans, who was the editor of the Sunday Times at the time, I remember urging me very strongly to be a journalist, and he said, don't be a lawyer. He said, you'll get rich, but you'll become incredibly bored. Journalism is much more exciting. And I did enjoy journalism, but I guess I wanted to give the legal thing a run. You know, your life takes so many different turnings. In a way, my journalism in London was a bit frustrating. Well, it was very frustrating, because at the end of 78, or thereabouts, I was offered two jobs in London. One by Donald Trelford on The Observer, and the other one by Harry Evans on The Sunday Times. Now, Harry I just adored and admired. And he'd first approached me a couple of years before when I'd spoken in a debate at the Cambridge Union when I'd been visiting the UK, and he was there. And he was obviously very impressed with the speech, and he sent a note around. You know, this is like getting a note from God for a young reporter, young journalist. And so I went and saw him, and he encouraged me to give up my legal studies and come and work for him then. So I said, no, I better finish this degree. So I stayed in touch with him, and then when I went over to England on the roads, I hooked up again. But I'd also been introduced to Donald Trelford. And anyway, I was offered these two jobs. Now, the problem was that shortly after I started the Sunday Times, the bloody paper closed because they had this epic strike, you know, which ended up with the journalists being on the pay, kept on the payroll, and the printers all being out. And it was the most weird year. Every couple of weeks, we'd actually write the stories for it as though a paper was about to be published, because there was always going to be a breakthrough, and there never was. You know, it's a very strange period. I wrote so many good stories that never saw the light of day. Just awful.
At what point did you decide to move across to politics then, rather than continue in law?
I ran in the Liberal Party's pre-selection in Wentworth in 1981, actually, when I came back from England, but not really with any expectation of winning it, and very nearly won it, much to everyone's surprise, particularly mine. And I've been involved in Liberal politics one way or another for a long time, at different parts of my life more actively than others. And obviously I was, you know, the chairman of the Republican movement, so I've always been in, like, public policy and political life, I guess.
What skills did you develop as a journalist that you use in your work now?
Obviously, journalists should know how to write. That's helpful. I think being able to tell a story succinctly and clearly is very important. The ability to organise your thoughts. You know, ultimately, it's all about expression. It's communication. Good journalists are good communicators.
Yeah.
in law is the same thing. You've got to be a bit forensic. You've got to be prepared to do some digging and investigation. And when I am approaching issues, I approach them in a fairly journalistic way, you know, in the sense that I'll sit down with people. You know, if I'm talking to people about broadband policy, for example, I'll sit down and in effect interview them, and I'll often pull the old iPad out and just say, look, do you mind if I take some notes? And I'll take some pretty detailed notes. And what I often do then is email back to them a summary of what they've said and say, you know, just confirm this is what you said, and not to quote them necessarily, just to make sure I've got it right, and throw in a few extra questions. So I approach things, I hope, you know, with the thoroughness that a good journalist should have.
So you're still keeping up those skills?
Yeah, that's right. I'll try to do that, yeah.
Considering your background in journalism, how do you view the news now as a consumer?
It's like it's always been. It's a variable quality. I am very concerned about the demise of newspapers and what that means for quality journalism. It's a real issue. What will our body politic look like when there are no newspapers that can afford to pay for proper reporting? You see it all the time. The difficulty is that quality journalism, as opposed to opinion, costs money. And the business model of the newspaper industry is just dying, sadly. I spent some time with Alan Rusbridger in his newsroom in The Guardian when I was in London, you know, last week, I guess it was. So there's a great newspaper, one of quite a few in England, and you've got to ask yourself, how do they survive in a digital world? How are they going to be able to continue doing their sort of journalism in a world where the revenue base is so attenuated?
Are you glad that you aren't a journalist then?
Should have a T-shirt saying, I'm glad I'm not a journalist. Things could be worse. I could be a journalist. I'm glad I have been a journalist. Am I glad that I'm not a journalist now? Yeah, I suppose so. You know, I guess I've had a degree of financial success which wouldn't probably have come my way if I'd been a reporter, would, let's face it. So.
Can I just ask one more question then before you go?
Yeah.
What's a piece of advice that you can give to aspiring journalists out there?
I think you've got to recognise that the world of journalism that you may have been contemplating, young person, starry-eyed, impressed with all this, is changing very rapidly and not always for the good. I mean, there are journalists in the press gallery here who I know well, who are in their 20s and 30s, who are really quite depressed and are saying, you know, what have I done? I've undertaken a career that's just dying. Days of being able to go and get a job with a big news organisation and work your way up, and that's probably not available to you realistically any longer. There will be, no doubt will continue to be big news organisations, but it's challenging. Now, it's not all gloom. Things like The Conversation are very interesting. ProPublica, I think you will start to see more philanthropically supported news outlets. The news media are going to have to think pretty carefully. If we believe that an independent press is essential to a vigorous democracy, as I think it is, it may be that there will need to be more philanthropic support, you know, along the lines of foundations or charities, etc., supporting that sort of journalism. It's difficult to see how it's going to find a business model going forward. Now, I hope I'm wrong there, okay, Matt, so, because, you know, this is, we are at the cutting edge of radical change, and so predicting it is perilous. So it's a brave new world. There are lots of opportunities there. But, you know, I look back at the sort of journalism that I was inspired by, the Harry Evans, Sunday Times, investigative journalism. It's hard to see that continuing, at least in its current form. And, of course, the truly scary thing is that we now get into a world of just opinions, most of them ill-informed. We no longer have a news cycle. We've got an opinion cycle.
MP Malcolm Turnbull there, and you can find out more about him at his website, malcolmturnbull.com.au. Next week on Life After Journalism, we'll be hearing from a former ABC journalist and Walkley Award winner, Sarah Armstrong.